Welcome to the Real Estate Espresso Podcast, your morning shot of what's new in the world of real estate investing. I'm your host, Victor Menashe. On today's show, we're talking about the technology and some of the newest materials for new construction. It's increasingly common to have building plan examiners and building inspectors reject materials for use in a new construction project. The issue often comes down to one of liability. Gone are the days of stick building a frame and slapping on some siding. There's an entire building science, and modern buildings have a lot of technology built into the structure, the cladding, the windows, and in fact the entire building envelope. Buildings can degrade with moisture, and multiple defenses against moisture penetration are key to having a long-life building. That means designing layers to keep moisture out, and then making sure that if moisture does get in, it has a way out before it happens to damage the building. The other source of moisture is the result of condensation. This happens when there's a difference in temperature between inside and outside. If it's colder on the outside, then moisture is likely to be on the outside, and if it's colder on the inside, then moisture is likely to condense on the inside. Both can be a problem. The latest innovation is something called an air barrier. These new technologies have created confusion with contractors, and many of them don't understand the difference. Depending on the climate, the same materials are used in different ways. When buildings become airtight, it's possible to experience buildup of toxins. So to counteract this, we need controlled ways of bringing fresh air into the building. That's typically a heat recovery ventilator or an energy recovery ventilator. Air barriers are not to be confused with vapor barriers or water-resistive barriers. Each barrier has a different function to perform in a building assembly. A very common question in the marketplace is, what's the difference between an air barrier and a vapor barrier? And to add to the confusion, there's often a building code requirement for a water-resistive barrier. It's important to understand the difference when you design a building and when you take into account the loads of airflow, heat flow, and moisture. Quite simply, an air barrier reduces the flow of air, and a vapor barrier reduces the flow of water vapor, and a water-resistive barrier reduces the flow of liquid water. Each function is completely different. The confusion comes in when one material can provide more than one function, but they have to be used in a particular way to perform the function. Air barrier materials are material that can be used anywhere in a building assembly to reduce the flow of air in and out of conditioned space. Air barriers are now considered superior to vapor barriers because if moisture does condense on one side, there's a pathway for the moisture to eventually cross the barrier and eventually dry. Vapor barriers don't allow this, and they will leave the moisture trapped in the wall cavity where it can cause damage. Now, on a typical construction site, there could be hundreds of materials that meet the requirement of an air barrier, but the material needs to be put into the building assembly in a way that makes that assembly airtight. So air barrier materials are assembled into air barrier assemblies, which then put together the entire air barrier system, which is in fact the entire building. Vapor barrier materials are any material that is used in the assembly to slow or reduce the movement of water vapor through the material. The position of the vapor barrier in a building will depend on the climate conditions. In warm climates, it's going to be placed on the exterior, and in cold climates, it's going to be on the interior, right up next to the drywall. You would be most familiar with the 6mm polyethylene film plastic, which you then tape the seams and caulk the edges. And this is where the confusion comes in. The amount of water vapor going through the material is minimal compared to the amount of water vapor that can be transferred by leaking air through holes in the building assembly. People see condensation in a building assembly and assume this is because the vapor barrier was not installed properly, and that's not typically what happens. It's usually the result of a break in insulation, which is allowing condensation to happen. That's what's usually causing the problem. Vapor barrier is extremely effective at keeping moisture from crossing the barrier. It is not effective at preventing condensation that occurs when there's a difference in temperature and you've got moisture in the air. Now, water-resistive barriers are any material that will resist liquid water from intruding into the wall. These are typically installed on the outside of the building, and they're used to deflect water that has leaked or penetrated the exterior cladding. You will see often Tyvek wrap. That's an effective resistive barrier. So you've got three different materials performing three different functions. You've got an air barrier handling air leakage, a water vapor handling water vapor transmission, and a water resistive barrier handling liquid water. The fact is, many local building codes have not been updated to take advantage of the latest in technology, but something you definitely want to pay attention to if you want to improve the performance of your buildings. As you think about that, have an awesome rest of your day. Go make some great things happen. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.